What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we will be discussing nutrition in our schools. Childhood obesity, ADHD, behavioral problems, anxiety, and depression have all been on the rise with our children in recent years. We can't leave nutrition out of the equation when talking about these disorders and conditions. However, in my professional opinion, that is exactly what we've been doing. I have the registered dietitian for the Rochester City School District on the podcast today to talk about this uphill battle in getting healthier foods into our schools to promote physical, mental, and emotional development in our children. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Stephanie Mangiafrida has experience working in the medical field for over 20 years as a medical technician in the emergency department, then as a surgical assistant for a cosmetic surgeon before becoming a registered dietitian licensed through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. She is currently the school nutrition coordinator for the Rochester City School District and volunteers as the dietitian for Celiac Strong Camp, a summer camp for children with celiac disease. Welcome to the podcast, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's going to be a fun chat. So let's talk about you first. Did I say your last name right? I know we just talked about that. I think I botched it, but it's Italian.
Mangiafrida. It's Italian. It's Mangiafrida. Yep.
Love it.
You got it.
So tell us your story. So what or who inspired you to pursue a career in nutrition and dietetics?
So I always say that nutrition was my destiny. My grandparents on my mother's side had a farm in Genesee County where I grew up. And growing up, most of our produce came from the farm. And my grandmother also canned the vegetables and cooked everything from scratch. So we always had a lot of fruits and vegetables incorporated into our meals. And then also as a young child, I suffered from what was originally labeled as a gastrointestinal disorder. And I spent a lot of my childhood going to doctors and specialists all over Western New York before I was finally diagnosed with celiac disease. So that's originally what sparked my interest in the medical field. And I eventually learned that I also have multiple food allergies. And I was doing a ton of research for gluten-free, allergy-free diets. And so it just kind of made sense to make a career out of it. And plus my last name, which we were kind of playing around with earlier, which is from my paternal side, Mangiafrida in Italian means eat cold food. So it was pretty much my destiny to become a dietitian.
Fruits and veggies. I love it. Lots of fiber. All the good stuff. Well, that's a cool story. So you were affected, I mean, heavily from nutrition with celiacs. Wow. So how did you discover that? You were just sick a lot as a child?
Right. I was incredibly sick. I was severely underweight, my mom says cranky for most of my early childhood. My mom took me to specialists in Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, and eventually I was diagnosed with celiac disease.
There wasn't a lot of awareness back then either. Not that you're that old, but even, I mean, I feel like the last 10, 15 years.
Correct. A lot. I was really lucky to be able to see the specialists that I did. But even then, I mean, like you said, there wasn't a huge awareness. So my mom didn't fully understand what foods had gluten in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, kudos to your mom for figuring that out. That's awesome. So what is your current position within the Rochester City School District?
So my official title is school nutrition coordinator, but I always refer to myself as the district dietitian because I think it gives a better description of my job. And then also anyone who isn't part of like school administration probably doesn't fully understand what a school nutrition coordinator does. So I usually refer to myself as the district dietitian.
What a cool title. I hear that. And like, if I were in your shoes, I would feel excited, but super overwhelmed. How do you feel?
I mean, we've got almost 30,000 kids enrolled in our district, and I am the only dietitian.
Wow. So what prompted that hire? Because this is your first year.
It is. So there was actually a dietitian on staff for a number of years. But during budget cuts quite a few years ago, the position was eliminated. But as some people in our region probably had heard back in March, there was an incident with the Rochester City School District's food service department that was greatly highlighted on social media and the local media regarding some of the food that was being served to the students. And so that is what prompted the district to reinstate the position.
Now, there's a lot of issues with, I mean, all of our school districts right now. I mean, just the world in general, but the city schools especially. And, you know, nutrition is definitely one of them. And we're going to highlight that today. So I'm really excited about this chat. So why is proper nutrition so important for our children and school-age kids?
Great question. So their brains are still developing. We need to feed their brains with nutritious food so that they develop to their full potential. Food insecurity and malnutrition correlate closely with poor health, but also behavioral, social, and cognitive problems. What they are eating during childhood will impact them for the rest of their lives. If kids are hungry, they're not going to retain anything that's being taught to them in class. And a very high percentage of the kids in our particular district are food insecure. And so what they receive in school a lot of times is the only meal that are only meals that they're having throughout the entire day. So we need to make them as nutritious as possible.
So I look at it on paper and it's simple. Now, obviously we're in this field, right? It's like balance, just find a balanced meal, just give them balanced food. Like we can control that, can't we? Why is this such an issue?
I wish it was that easy. There's a lot of barriers. Financially, and within this conversation, I'm using the Rochester City School District as my reference. I can't speak to other school districts in our area or anywhere else in the country. Mm-hmm. But financially, we don't have what we need to purchase high quality nutritious foods. We don't have enough kitchen staff in any of our schools right now. And many of the staff that we have don't have any kitchen experience. I mean, we were in such a shortage that we hired people that had no food service experience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So they don't have the skills or the trainings needed to cook meals from scratch. And we also in our district don't have the kitchen equipment or the space needed to cook the meals. So if I'm really being honest, that all comes down to money. I mean, money to buy the food, to recruit and retain workers and skilled workers and train them, and the money to purchase the equipment and renovate spaces that we need to cook the meals. I mean, some of these schools, my bedroom closet is bigger than the kitchen that they have.
Hmm. What's the average cost of a lunch for a student?
So in our district, and I'm going to pull the numbers here just to be 100% sure. In our district, our meals are fully federally funded because all of our children come from families with incomes at or below 100. The majority of our students come from families with incomes at or below 130% of the poverty level. That makes everyone in our district eligible for free lunch. Mm-hmm. So to give you an example of that, a family of four earning $34,450 a year is 130% of below the poverty level. Mm-hmm. So what we get is federally funded. We receive this year, we're receiving $3.66 per student for lunch.
Okay.
But not all of that money goes to the food to purchase. That money also has to cover the labor costs, the cost of benefits for our employees, along with other costs such as supplies, equipment, utilities, things like that. So once you take all of that out, what's left is approximately 95 cents per student per lunch.
Wow. So this sounds like a logistical nightmare. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here.
There is. And then on top of that, because we receive the federal funding, we also have to meet the USDA guidelines for the nutritionals for the lunches.
What does that mean?
So, for instance, we've got calorie ranges that we have to meet for different grade levels. For instance, high school, their lunch has to be between 750 and 850 calories per meal. We've got...
I would argue even more than that it should be, right? Because a lot of these kids aren't eating properly when they get home.
They aren't eating properly when they get home.
Just not enough calories. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, can you give them breakfast or dinner too? Or can they get more than one lunch a day?
So they can't get more than one lunch a day. We do also provide, in our school district, we provide a free breakfast to the students as well. Part of the problem we're having right now, though, is just we're not getting these kids there early enough to have them sit down and eat their breakfast. I mean, they get there, and if they're lucky, they've got 15 minutes before the homeroom bell. Mm-hmm.
So if this podcast is resonating with just one person, like, how can we help?
So there's a couple of different things you can do. In most school districts, there is a wellness committee. So that committee oversees nutritional standards and things like vending machines in schools, which for our district, we don't have vending machines. That was part of the wellness policy that we put into place. You can contact your local congressperson. There is some legislation that they're trying to pass right now. It's called the Infrastructure Modernization Act, which would provide funding for new kitchen equipment in public schools. And then also outside of the actual school breakfast and school lunches, a lot of our schools have food pantries. So if you personally or an organization that you belong to wants to donate nutritious food for those pantries, that would be a huge help to these families.
Now, most of these meals, I'm assuming, are just loaded with sugar because sugar is cheaper than an avocado and a nice piece of salmon. So is that another issue?
Not so much the sugar. I will say that one of the first things that I did when I started with the district, I was looking at things like the breakfast bars that we were serving. Have as much sugar in them as a candy bar. So that is part of an issue, but overwhelmingly sugar is not one of the biggest issues with the meals. And a lot of times too, one of the misconceptions is you see that we have, you know, an item that you can buy in the grocery store. And I'm going to use a breakfast cereal for an instance. The breakfast cereal that we are serving to the kids isn't the same thing that you buy in the store. So it meets the child nutrition standards, which are a lot healthier than the product that you buy in the store. So there's more whole grain in it. There's less sugar. There's less fat, that kind of stuff.
So what, in your professional opinion, is the solution for all this?
I think we need to start focusing more. We have to make it a priority. You know, I'm going to be kind of controversial for a second, but I feel like in my experience, we're prioritizing some of the wrong things. Mm-hmm. I have been in some of our schools where they have these beautiful new athletic fields and athletic facilities, but the kitchen is literally falling apart. Mm. So I feel like it is up to the parents to really be vocal and tell school districts, tell schools, we want the focus to be on the nutrition to, you know, instead of some of the other things that, you know, are being improved upon in the schools.
Year after year, it takes priority.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. Right. You know, you get an uproar from parents, you know, for a short period of time because an incident happens. But then, you know, it fades out and there's no follow-up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think parents need to make the leaders in their school district realize that this needs to be a priority.
I love that answer. When I think of school, I think of socializing. I think of learning. I think of maybe music, art, and athletics. I don't even think about food. And yet we eat lunch every day at school, whether you bring her a lunch. Now, these kids where you teach and where you work, I mean, they don't bring their lunch, right? They're given a lunch every day. Or do some kids bring their own lunch?
We do have some kids bring their own lunch, okay. But majority of them do eat the school lunches.
Yeah, it's provided for them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, between lunch, breakfast and lunch, we serve over 38,000 meals a day. Hmm.
What about, like, I know we touched on this a while back off the podcast, but what about like gardening? What about teaching the kids to like grow their own food on the school premises?
I love that idea. It is taking place in a couple of our schools.
Very cool.
And that is through FoodLink in our community does have a couple schools where they do edible education and they have these beautiful gardens, but not all of our schools have the room to do that. And that is an extra activity that happens outside of school time. And then also, you know, having someone take care of the garden or the farm itself to oversee the students, you know, is another extra position in finding somebody to do that. So it's a great idea, but actually implementing it would, you know, not be feasible in a lot of our schools.
What about hunters and fishermen? Can they donate if they shoot an extra deer or if they catch more fish? No.
No, all of our food needs to come from distributors. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's definitely an uphill battle. You know, I appreciate what you're doing and that's gotta be overwhelming some days, super rewarding other days. You know, it's probably exciting. And I could see the wheels turning in your head when you're answering those questions. It's awesome. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about this obesity epidemic that we're under right now in our country. So about 43% of Americans are obese and those were pre-pandemic numbers. So it's probably even higher, I would argue. So what do you think is the solution for that? Or what's the step in the right direction?
So I think we are at a point in our society now that we know things like fast food aren't healthy for us. Mm-hmm. To me, it's more behavioral. You know, I have a lot of friends and family who ask me for help with their nutrition and meal planning and losing weight and things like that. And what I find in general is it's more behavioral issues. They know they need to eat their fruits and vegetables. They know they need to cut out the bad stuff, the sweets and the fast food. But as one of my friends says, she seems to find her car just steering itself to, you know, the coffee place every day where she gets the most, you know, fattening, sugary thing on the menu. Mm-hmm. It just happens without thinking. And then same thing with, you know, cooking a nutritious meal at home. It's, you know, well, I don't have the time to do it. Well, you need to make it a priority. You need to change your behaviors so that you have the time to do it. You know, any meal that you make at home is most likely healthier than anything that you're going to buy at a restaurant mm-hmm. or, you know, pre-made mm-hmm. someplace. Mm-hmm. So just that behavior change is going to make a huge difference. And then also just enjoying your food. I think that we kind of go on automatic pilot when we eat sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. if you, I'm not saying don't have, you know, that donut or that piece of cake every once in a blue moon, but when you eat it, slow down, enjoy it, let it sit in your mouth, you know, have an experience where you're, you know, actually enjoying your food and not just a quick chew and swallow, because that's not going to satisfy your craving. You know, what's satisfying your craving is actually having it in your mouth and having, you know, that sweetness and the taste and everything.
The experience.
Yeah. Right.
I love those answers. Yeah. Priority. I mean, you said that earlier about making it a priority for nutrition in the schools. We as parents need to start doing that. I have two young daughters and yeah, this is hitting home for me that first of all, these kids aren't, they don't have enough food sometimes at home. And that really like, that hurts. So like, that's why I asked you, how can we help with that? So that's, thank you for sharing that and some options for us. But then you got the other side where kids are just eating too much and the wrong things and they're just not making it a priority. And that starts with us as the parents in the household.
Yeah.
And we have a choice every day and we need to start stepping up and leading our families in that or else that number is just going to keep skyrocketing. And that leads to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all this bad stuff, dementia that we don't want down the road. Nobody wishes that on anyone, especially right. a family member. So it starts every day with what we're putting in our bodies. And I love that. Being a mindset, it's really a mindset shift that we have to start making.
That's really it is, you know, you've got to look at it as one of your top priorities, because it's not just that in that moment, you know, it's the rest of your life. It's the rest of your child's life.
And it affects everything. It's going to affect how you feel, how you function, how you perform yeah. mentally, physically, how you sleep, everything. So that's awesome. Great answer. So anything exciting in store for your first full year in the city school district?
Yes, actually. So we are, as of while we're recording this podcast, it is a week left, but on October 22nd, we're closing out the application process for a new council that we are starting. It's the Meal Advisory Council. And what we're doing is we're taking parents, students, and some of our community partners. We are forming a council to get ideas on what they want to see for school meals. You know, we want the parents' input of, you know, what they feel is important. We want the kids' opinions and ideas of, you know, does this taste good? What do you want to eat every day? Because if the food's not good, the kids aren't going to eat it. It's going to end up in the garbage. I don't care how hungry they are, mm-hmm. you know, and then community partners to work with us to help us make these ideas come to life. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about you and like your work. So what's a typical day at the office for you?
I wish somebody could tell me that. This has been an absolute crazy year between COVID and our supply chain issues. And then also, you know, not having anyone in my position for quite some time. So I don't know what a typical day looks like, but I can tell you what I've been doing so far.
Sounds good.
So I approve all of the nutritionals for our menus for breakfast and lunch. To make sure that they do fit our nutritional guidelines for the government. I also work with the school nurses regarding documentation and identifying our students with food allergies and also diabetes. I've done one-on-one education with the students to help them identify food that might have hidden allergens in them. And also have helped diabetic students with the best menu options to keep their blood sugars stable. I help our kitchen staff find suitable replacement items for the kids with food allergies. And then I go on what I call scavenger hunts for specialty food items. So for instance, if a school runs out of non-dairy milk, I call around and check inventory at all the other schools to find out who does have some that we can, you know, take from, and then I deliver those items myself. And then also because of the food service worker shortage, I've hopped in the kitchens and cooked and served with them. Cool. And I'm also in charge of our social media page and updating our website.
You wear many hats.
I am a very busy woman.
That sounds like a fun job though. You get to talk about food all day. You get to make food, maybe eat some food, and every day is different. And you go on scavenger hunts.
Yes, I actually really do enjoy my job.
So let's talk about you and your day, like personally here. So how do you win the day? Like, how do you practice health with fitness, with reading, with socialization? Like, what's a perfect day for you?
Oh, I need to start my day off slow. I let myself wake up. I sip my coffee. I, you know, do some reading. Because if I started my day off like I was shot out of a cannon, I mean, that kind of sets the tone for the rest of my day. And in my job, I really need to be calm and patient and, you know, I try to calm some of the chaos that happens. And then at the end of my day, I usually try to get in some sort of physical activity to help relieve some of the stress and just maintain my overall health and well-being.
So you like to move at the end of the day. Interesting. You have more energy after work?
Yes, I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
There's no way that I'm doing any type of workout first thing in the morning.
Wake up slow, sip your coffee. I like that. Set the tone.
Yes.
And you probably start early, I'm assuming. The school district starts pretty early.
Yeah, so I'm actually to work by 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. So how can listeners get in the conversation and help in improving the nutrition in our schools? Are there contacts? Is there an email for you? Is there another contact you want to share?
Yeah, so in our school district, if they want to get in touch with us in the food service department, they can reach out through email. It's sfs@rscdk12.org. We also have a Facebook page. It's Rochester City School District Food and Nutrition Department. And both of those, the messages will come directly to me. And if you are in our school district also, there are parent councils that you can join, and they are always asking me to be guest speaker and, you know, kind of explain why we serve what we do in the school district.
What about social media? Is there a social media handle?
The only thing we have right now is the Facebook page.
Facebook page, okay.
Yep.
What is that?
That is Rochester City School District Food and Nutrition Department. So you can find us that way through search.
Cool. Well, final question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
This is the hardest question. I really feel like Rochester has so many good things going for it, yep. No matter what you're interested in. But I have to, as the dietitian, I kind of got to give a predictable answer.
Yep.
I think we have amazing local farmers markets.
Nice.
I frequent the Brighton Market in particular. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I won the food jackpot, mm-hmm. because they have a lot of vendors that are, mm-hmm. organic. Mm-hmm. So local and organic produce, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, that's as good as it gets, you know?
Now they're outside, right? They're outside for most of the year, and then they go inside in the winter.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Where is it exactly? Where in Brighton?
That is at the Brighton High School.
The high school. Okay. And what about inside during the winter? High school?
They move to a different location, and I don't remember where it is off the top of my head.
All good. You can look that up online.
Yeah.
Okay. Where else?
Okay. So this is not like an open to the public thing.
It is now.
But I'm a crazy dog lady. And I love this place. It's over in Webster. It's called Theravet Acres. And they do rehabilitation for animals in general, but particularly dogs. Hmm. And it's the most amazing place. If you are a crazy dog person and your dog needs some physical therapy, it's the most amazing place. They've got an underwater treadmill. They do laser therapy for arthritis, acupuncture, massage. I mean, that's going to be my next career, is I'm going to work there.
Work on animals. I love it. I wonder if I could take my daughter there just to watch them like rehab a dog. That would be so cool.
They are the most amazingly nice people. So I'm going to say that it doesn't hurt to tell and ask.
For sure. So what's the name of it again?
It's Theravet Acres Rehabilitation Center.
Got it. Okay, I got to ask you a couple more questions about food here. So what about food trucks, right? Food trucks can be very unhealthy, but there's a couple that are pretty healthy. So what do you recommend for a food truck? What's your favorite?
Gosh, you know what? I would love a recommendation, actually, because not only am I gluten-free, I'm also vegan. So I have yet to find a food truck in Rochester where I could actually order something.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any recommendations. I know Effortlessly Healthy is pretty good, but I don't think they're vegan. Maybe they're gluten-free. They have some options, but I'll have to do some research for you.
All right. Let me know.
What about your top restaurant? So where are you going to go for dinner?
Oh my gosh. You know, that's another great thing about Rochester is that we have such an eclectic range of restaurants. I mean, I love the Owl House.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
They have amazing vegan stuff as well as, you know, carnivore food. And they're great about accommodating gluten-free. My gosh, you know, and I gotta give a shout out to the Red Fern. Mm-hmm. Fully vegan restaurant, and food is delicious there too.
The buffalo cauliflower bites at the Owl House are like so good.
Oh, I love them. And they do a rotating flavor every week too. Oof. Which is always amazing.
I had to get back there. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for what you're doing for the city school districts. It's definitely an uphill battle, but if anyone's going to do a great job, it's going to be you. And just take it one day at a time and keep doing what you're doing. So thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Stephanie shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.